Welcome to EHS On Tap. I'm your host, Jay Kumar, Editor-in-Chief of EHS Daily Advisor. This week I talked to Marcel Guevara, Senior Product Manager, Intellex, about integrating EHS management systems and digital solutions. This episode is sponsored by Intellex. Intellex Technologies is a global provider of SaaS-based environmental health, safety, and quality management software. Learn more at intellex.com. And now, on to the interview.
I'm joined today by Marcel Guevara, Senior Product Manager at Intellex. How's it going, Marcel?
Wonderful day. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, thanks for being here. And before we kind of jump into talking about integrated EHS management systems, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do with Intellex.
Perfect. Wonderful. Yes, I'm part of this amazing family of Intellex as a company. I guess we are one of the leaders in the EHS development of software in the industry. We are North America, all around the world. We have proudly served over more than 1,400 customers and about 3.5 million the last time that I checked about users out there. And it's incredibly joining to help they in their environmental health and safety journey. I myself came from the industry. I am a biologist by training, but early in my career, I joined the oil and gas industry. And as you know, oil and gas industry, they get all the environmental health and safety all together. So I was amazed opportunity to work back then with the leaders in the area, was Conoco, but at that time was owned by DuPont. So I really grew on the health and safety area on the job. And that became a pretty, I guess, comprehensive and all the areas of environmental health and safety. One of the things that I admire, that was the topic of the meeting, is a management system that I learned from there. Mm-hmm. I moved to Canada 14 years ago. And working with the consultant firm, I was able to put all the knowledge from the oil and gas in the hands of other industry. I work with mining, manufacturing here, and definitely always a great opportunity to help others to develop the EHS management system and processes. And I jumped 4 years ago to the technology world. I play a little bit before this call with the ChatGPT and Microsoft Copilot. And when I put my CV on the profile, I came out with a statement that say, I am an EHS professional at the intersection of traditional EHS expertise and the cutting edge technology. So that's a pretty record for the AI helping me there, because over the last 4 years, definitely my life have been trying to get all this EHS knowledge into the service of others through the digital services. Starting with an EHS AI, which was basically an AI platform that developed legislation and applying AI. And now with Intellex, definitely working on multiple of the applications. So.
Excellent. Well, that's a lot. Well, let's talk about it. What is an integrated EHS management system?
It's one of the things, as I mentioned, it's kind of my passions. I believe a lot of this these days, and I keep witness that again and again, that a lot of people develop same things in different silos. And a lot of people, even in just the EHS, that's right. So they have developed environmental management system, health and safety management system altogether. And the overlapping of resources there is an amazing. So when you create integrated management system, definitely you are saving a lot of resources. You're people to work together in many, many fronts, and definitely is keep growing. So if you can have, if you add quality to the equation, if you go to the ISO, an ISO environmental, an ISO 45000 now for health and safety, an ISO 9000 for quality that they lead before that, right? So you have a lot of integrated. So if you have all this integrated right from the get-go, right from the beginning, or if you have different systems, if you put the effort to integrate them, definitely you are saving a lot of resources and definitely getting the people together.
Even even
if you push forward, one of the things that some of those that move even out of the EHS, even from the name, they call the operational excellence system. And very, very large companies have been going through that effort, which is, I admire. When you have your operational management system, when you have your maintenance, your HR systems, and you put it all together, because at the end of the day, many of the environmental health and safety aspect elements are part of others. That's right. It's how you do the training, how you do the maintenance, how you do preventive maintenance, and so on. So when you integrate all the systems, definitely it's a gain for all. So that's what I hope to share with you today.
So in terms of the industry, how many organizations are actually doing that, are integrating their EHS?
Is I guess there's a lot of companies definitely are putting there, and you can see in different industries. Again, even that, as I say, early oil and gas definitely is one that have been many years putting all this together. In my experience in mining, is also going in that direction. Even that sometimes the level of risk and how this managed by health and safety are kept a little separate. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of room to do it. As every company get a little more strained on the resources that they have, the more that this integration take place and the collaborative approach from many, you can save a lot of and definitely manage the risk altogether. Manufacturing is getting there. And of course, in some cases, the weight of the health and safety and the weight of environment is going to be very different. But at the same time, within the same effort, you can manage all of those aspects here.
So how do digital solutions align with EH&S processes?
It's kind of a twofold. When you have, and again, we have been witness there and working with many companies out there, you have basically two different approaches here. You have the companies that have a very mature environmental health and safety quality management system in place, that they have already the process procedures. The people have been, all the staff has been trained on all these processes. You don't want to risk that establishment. You don't want to risk that. So the adoption of the digital solution should map all the process that you have. So this is when you have all of this digital solution that is mature enough that allows customization. So basically, you need to make sure that if you have an inspection, you have an audit, you have an incident reporting process that is already very well documented and trained, the digital solutions should mimic that. So you just have that aspect that will follow that. And of course, that requires more work, that requires more investment, but then you have a digital solution that really mimics all of the process. On the other hand, we have an incredibly proud these days that what we are trying to build here is for those companies that do not have the maturity, that do not have that level of complexity, those level even risk, that's right. So you may have a company that have 50, 100 employees and they're working in the low risk area, that probably they don't need that level of investment in the EH&S processes. In that sense, we are proud that sometimes we develop the other way around. We develop a best in practice, so you already the product out of the box that you just can get there and start using it is easy. And basically the process, this digital solution have been built based on the best management practice of hundreds of companies. So hopefully when you get there, and if you don't have the process, you don't have the procedures, or you have very weak, or you have in some cases integrating because you just came from a merge, from acquisition, and now you have multiple places, sometimes it's a good time to check if something is out of the box there, will fit your needs. And then in that case, it's all the other way around. So you get the digital solution and they basically you start using it and you develop your process and it based on that solution.
What about when you've got a lot of solutions to address specific needs and integrating that with your overall management system? How do you sort of manage, how do you do that? And I was wondering if you could give me some examples.
We have definitely, we have, I guess I've been witness from that you have a base, that's right. So when you have a very overall process and you have your management system in place, you need to have one place to go. So you need to have that solution that is kind of the core. That's where all the dots are connected. So that's how they communicate from there. These days, as the saying said out there, it's like an app for everything. That's right. So you have multiple and many and new coming, very, very incredible, important. Don't get me wrong. That's right. It's incredible applications that are being developed to solve a very specific problem that may few companies have and other companies doesn't have it. That's right. And that application, that maybe digital solution, is giving you a great insight of the risk that there is happening in a specific aspect of your operation. But if you have it that isolated there, then you will probably miss all that information. So in that sense, you need to keep the core where you have all your information, your data, or all your alerts on where your areas of risk of your integrated software that gives you the management system. But then now you need to connect there and you need to gather all the data from all these specific point solutions that they are connected to your management system.
Yeah, because I imagine that there's a lot of companies that maybe try out different apps or solutions, and you know, maybe they work well, maybe they don't, but they've still got all of these things sort of sitting around, and then all of a sudden, you know, they realize that, you know, they don't know which ones are, you know, doing what they need and which ones aren't. So I imagine it can get a little messy if you're trying out a lot of different things.
Yeah, definitely is there, and that's one of the cases when you have kind of a specific applications for a specific solution for a specific problem. But in the other case, some of the things that I witnessed in my career is when you have, especially with this, I wouldn't say new because it's been 20, 30 years in the market, that you have a lot of merchant acquisitions and you get companies buying different divisions and putting them together. So when you end with two or three different applications to solve the same problem, that's right. So you have a safety observation and one company that you acquire, another company that acquire. Now they're all sitting in the same. Half of the people is using one type of a solution. The other half of your team is using a different solution. And sometimes that integration takes for years. So you just have an incredible pain of your workforce. And you're losing a lot of opportunities if you have half of the team in one and another in others. That's right. They don't talk. If you want to, that's the same happen with regional aspect. That's right. So you have one location with managing with one solution and another is other. If you want to transfer people from one side to another, then you have a lot of pain. So having those, definitely the more that you can get aligned, the quicker that you get to that integration and you move, adopt another and keep it the same solution and the same source of information for each of your problem.
And I guess, you know, going forward, as you're looking at different solutions, what's the best way to evaluate them so you can avoid having that similar problem where you've got too many things lying around? You know, how do you sort of recommend that folks kind of do that?
Definitely, you need to have a pretty good sense of what are your problems, right? And basically, the way now that when we develop the solution, each of those solutions are designed to resolve a problem. So you have a problem, and that's how we call it in the product management. You have a job to be done, and that's the problem that you have. And basically, the solution is built behind after that job to be done, that problem that you have in your operations. So definitely, you should kind of follow the same processes, right? So when you are evaluating those solutions, make sure that they are really designed to solve the problem that you have. I see many times that people is using a solution that looks kind of okay, what I have the problem, but it's not designed for that. So at the end of the road, it gives you a lot of headaches, a lot of frustration as your staff, especially when you have those new implementations that you get there. If you don't get it right at the beginning, then you lose a very powerful moment to get there. So make sure that those solutions are built for the job that have to be done.
How important is it to do your homework and really research, these solutions before you kind of take that leap, in addition to knowing what your problem is?
Yeah, definitely is there. That's right. So again, this day, everything is more transparent and transparent. There are a lot of associations out there that give you that compare tools. I mean, sometimes they're very, very not very good tools out there. If you try to research in the internet, you may find a lot of things that they're biased or they have a sponsor behind the scenes, so you don't really know, and they're pumping up their product right on top. But do the very comprehensive homework that check. And again, there are different associations, there are different entities that do that research for you for small or for some fee. Maybe you can have access to some of the information in case you are November. and then you can gather what are the benefits of others. I mean, there's no one before better than the other, but is maybe one better for your problem than the others, right? And that's kind of the things that some of the solutions are there to resolve that. So again, definitely need to research there. I mean, do the interviews with the team, the more that you can meet the team, or not only the account executive, but also if you can reach out and meet with the product team and trying to do the best of the homework to understand that this is the right solution for you.
Once you do select your solutions that you're going to stick with, what's the sort of how do you recommend that companies train their staff to use them? What's the best way to kind of, get acclimated to these new solutions?
It's definitely, again, and that will be the difference. A lot of the efforts when you have a customized solution for your operations, you need to put way more work upfront, definitely with the consultant. In some cases, it's a consultant doing that work for you. In some other cases, you're in-house, or some is the software solution that have the service that is providing that to you. Do the investment on that. Make sure that you have the training material designed for your staff. Because once you start doing the rollout, definitely even do some trials before, that's right, tries before. So make sure that everything is connected, all the dots are connected. So it's going to be easy to do, because you need to get sure that your staff is familiar with the operation, with the product that you are doing. Especially if you have some of those customizations, make sure that you have the trials. And if there's anything to be corrected or to be improved before you release that to the entire workforce, do it. I mean, sometimes having that investment on front will save you a lot of the headaches down the road if you try to correct path once you are already in the release. If you are doing some of those more out of the box, that you are not investing in the customization, definitely do the test again and make sure that they are there. Try to do a lot of the things that we make sure, a lot of our applications, is that you have some room for the users, for our customers to adapt in some minor, even just rename aspect. That's right. So what is for me, I don't know, a label, for others is other. That's right. So we in the SI world we call requirements, because it's required, but for other person is called obligation. So that little minor things that may be obnoxious for some people, but for others are very relevant. That's right. So if you have the opportunity to do some sort of a minor customization in there, make sure that you use the right vocabulary. That's right. That is, your workforce will better understand. And then when you're doing that, definitely working on the training ahead of the release, hopefully that will reduce the friction. I mean, managing change is always challenges, right? So if you're going to implement something new, it's going to be a change. So make sure that you follow all your MOC, your management of change, that you train, that you reduce the risk, that you identify what can get wrong. Have a plan if things get wrong in the process ahead of the time. So when you are releasing and the platform is start being used, you can resolve and move fast.
That makes sense. You mentioned ChatGPT earlier. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about AI and, where it's going and how companies should approach using AI and, what should they use it for?
That's a whole thing. It's a very hot topic as getting there. But actually, that was good, because, again, the way that I jumped from my previous life to the digital was with the amazing opportunity to work with the ESI, Environmental Health and Safety Artificial Intelligence, which right now is a product within Intellex. But as an organization, we always say that we face a lot of, when we are presented the solution and we were evaluating other aspects over there, you feel a lot of resistance out there, right? So is this going to kill my job? Is this going to be a replacing my job? And we keep saying that, I guess, is already kind of a coin message there that, yeah, AI will not replace us as a human, but definitely humans using AI will replace those without using it. That's right. So definitely when you are working with an engine behind you and you are sure that AI platform is helping you to do your work better, it definitely is a great advantage. AI can take away a lot of that repetitive work that not many people want to do it, and at the same time, give you a lot of consistency. One of the things that, again, going back to Isai, when you have a lot of lengthy documents that take hours to read, now you can have an engine that can easily identify what is your requirement in here. If I process a 30-page regulation and I can identify clearly, okay, here are my requirements. The other part, these 20 are really requirements that I need to take care of. These other 20 are just relative information, but nothing that I need to take action on those. I can identify clearly what are the limits here, what are the frequency of these requirements. And you can extract a lot of information using AI that definitely will facilitate, will make your work easier. Again, you always still, especially at this stage of AI, you still have the human behind to make sure that that is going to be something that is helping you. We're working with examples of incident classification. So we have a corporation that have many people doing that work, classifying and one as another as another. It gives you a lot of inconsistency if you have 7, 10 people classifying incidents all around the world. And at the same time, it's consuming a lot of time. So if you have an AI that is incredibly powerful these days, that you can create the algorithms to train, and with some training, you can start predicting those classifications based on the incident description. Now, again, the human need to be there just to correct, rectify. Yeah. In many of the cases, the AI is intelligent enough to tell you, okay, I'm very confident of this, or I have low confidence in this classification. So maybe is as the process goes and goes, now the person reviewing that can really target on those that the AI is not that confident on that. And that makes sense. That's right. We are still in the early stages in many cases of the use of AI. But it's very powerful. I believe there's some amazing use case that we can still do. And I believe we are just scratching the surface right now as we continue to develop digital solutions with visual, with cameras, with predicting, and again, using very advanced analytics on those that is very, the AI can really help to identify things that the human is still hard to do, and it's a good complement, definitely no replacement yet, so.
Yeah, and it's getting smarter. It's, you know, it's learning, so that's kind of exciting too, and a little bit scary, but.
Yeah, definitely it is. But again, is as far as we adopt it and you use it and we learn how to use it, is I believe is going to be in our advantage. It's in our advantage of our workers. It's an advantage of providing more safe environment, and definitely it's in our advantage of progressing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Marcel, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This has been great.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Jay. Thank you for the questions, and definitely happy to answer if any follow up, to continue working on this and any other opportunity. The idea of us as we grow older is that all this knowledge that we are gathering in from the, especially in this case of the EHNS, is happily to share with others and the new generations coming behind. So any of this effort to share of going to very specific topics, happy to continue. Be part of it.
All right. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
That wraps up episode 200 of EHS on Tap. Thanks again to Intellex for sponsoring the episode. You can find more information about the show and listen to on-demand episodes at ehsdailyadvisor.blr.com. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join me next time.